is coming. Between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
I saw her from a distance as she walked up to the wall. In her hand she held some flowers as her tears began to fall. She took out pen and paper as to trace her memories. She looked up to heaven. The words she said were these. She said, "Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And oh, I'd love to see him just one more time, you see. All I have are the memories and the moments to recall. So Lord, could you tell him he's more than a name on a wall?" She said he really missed the family, being home on Christmas Day. And he died for God and country in a place so far away. I remember just a little boy playing war since he was three. Lord, this time I know he's not coming home to me.
Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And oh, I'd love to see him, but I know it just can't be. So I thank you for my memories and the moments to recall. But Lord, could you tell him he's more than a name on a wall? Lord, could you tell him he's more than a name on a
a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hang around. But I heard someone call my name one day and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar. In a Texas with a hammer down and a rockin' little combo from the guitar down.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
I love to hear the steel bell coming on the asphalt. Wake up in the middle of the night and a truck stops, stumble in a restaurant. Wonder why I don't stop.
Truth. You can't handle the truth.
But you can find it right here on the Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns.
Who's going to do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that ball.
You need the shooting bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the shooting bench. All right, let me find all the right buttons and everything to push here. Welcome to the shooting bench. I am taking Amy's spot tonight. I'm decided to do a special two-hour, feeling all patriotic and stuff here, two-hour Memorial Day special tonight. Got a few things to talk about. I got some news stories and things we did over the weekend and whatnot. So we're going to play some music here and there. And it is the 27th of May, and it is Memorial Day. And let me go over here to the chat room and see if we're chatting. Hang on a minute. Let me get this thing out of the way. How come this thing's not getting out of the way? Oh, there we go. All right, let me see the chat room, see what's going on. Hello, hello. Let me see a show of hands for anybody that wants to show me their hands or that wants to let me know we have sound over there. Let me go back and check all my settings here. Remember, we're not getting any sound. Looks like we're getting sound. Everything looks good. So let me bounce back over here and see if find somebody ambitious enough to put a hand up here. Hello. Alright, well, we'll just keep on keeping on here, and if we're not got sound, well, I know it's recording, so I know the podcast will be good, whether anything else is good or not. Okay, Memorial Day. We won't go through all the history and everything, you know, like we usually do every year. But, hey, WMD Dog just dropped in there. Good to see you, brother. Glad you're back home. So, I don't know, we may mention that here in a little bit, but we had a grand time over the weekend, starting Saturday. We had a little ceremony here at the small cemetery here in Vernon, put on by Sholo VFW Post 9907. And reason being is because the guy, the Grand Poobah, whatever they call him, the commander of that post, is from here in Vernon. And we have a great number of patriots and veterans and even for such a small community in this cemetery and in this community that have relatives in the cemetery. There's 114 graves in this cemetery, and a full one-third of them are veterans. 35 out of the, well, it's close to a full third, give or take a couple. But 35 out of 114, thank you, WMD Doc. 35 out of 114 are veterans. World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Afghanistan, we've got the whole Korea, got the whole bunch here. Small cemetery, very small, but it's, you know, it's not really, it's not the really nice manicured lawn and everything that you see on some of these others. It's kind of out in the woods and just, you know, not a whole lot goes on there. But it's not as bad as some that I've seen either. It's, obviously for a town the size of Vernon, it's a pretty nice cemetery. So anyway, we, got out there and we were replacing the flags on the grave sites. They do this every year, and I didn't know about it until this year. But they go out there, the VFW brings a box of these little flags, and they go out there and replace every one on every grave. Whether or not it's a veteran, if it had a flag on it, it's going to be replaced. And we showed up out there in uniform, representing the White Mountain Militia. And at the end of this, the VFW, John Dahl is the commander there, and he donated a new flag to the cemetery for the big flag that hangs at the entrance of the cemetery. So I thought that was pretty awesome. He donated the flag. The guy that accepted it was a friend of mine who is a Vietnam vet, is losing a little steam, you know, just like all the Vietnam vets are. And he just beaming from ear to ear to accept that flag. It was an awesome time. Now, the highlight probably of our ceremony, of our visit there, was a 96-year-old World War II vet, the last World War II vet in this area, one of the last ones, period. They're leaving us pretty fast. And this guy's 96, still driving, spry, young-looking, still has, good hearing, doesn't walk with a cane. I mean, he's in pretty good shape for the shape he's in, I'll tell you that. And after this was over with and we got all the flags put up and all that, I walked over to this guy and snapped him a sharp hand salute. And he just, I mean, just beamed from ear to ear and returned the salute. And I told him thank you and shook his hand. And he was just tickled. And so anyway, that was the end of the festivities there for Saturday. And nothing went on too much yesterday except church. And today they had another ceremony in Sholo at the Sholo Cemetery put on by the same VFW. And I'll tell you what, that one in Sholo is as nice as anyone that you'll ever go to. Very well organized, you know, well put together, you know, speakers, nice ceremony where they had the kind of like the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. You know, there's a grave there that they it actually is a veteran, and they know who it is. I guess it's not the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, but anyway, they have this little ceremony there, and they place four or five different items down there. You know, there's a bouquet and a wreath and several things. And there's each person there, the commander and the whatever he is, the deputy commander and a couple others there, have a little spiel that they read. And then they lay down this item down on the gravesite. And they had a retired colonel, airborne colonel, that come and spoke. He spoke last year, too. He's funny, easy to listen to, and just had a great presentation. I mean, he's riveting to listen to. He's real easy to listen to him. And then after that was over, after that was over, we went to another one over in Lakeside. Now, that one started the one in Sholo started at 10. The one in Lakeside started at 11. We was a little bit late getting there, but not too bad. And they have a nice Veterans Park memorial deal over there. And we stayed for that one. It was very short and to the point. It wasn't nearly as nice. It was nice. It just wasn't as as big as the other one we went to. After that was over, then we had a free luncheon for veterans and their families over at the VFW hall. And hot dogs and hamburgers, nothing fancy, but it was fun. And we sat down beside a guy, and I don't remember, Bob was his name. I don't know if I knew his last name or not. But he was on a, he's one of the, he was either the youngest or one of the youngest Korean vets out there. He just got in like 4 months, his time, he got in 4 months before the cutoff date that makes him a Korean vet. And he was a, I don't know what his job was, but he was in the Navy, and he was on a fuel ship. I forgot what they call it. It's not an oil tanker. It's a, I can't remember. But anyway, and he had some stories to tell, and he was funny too. And he was, him and his wife were there, and he talked about, you know, they, over the course of the last few years, as he's getting older, they went to, tried to go to every location, every country, and close to the same areas where he docked and you know, did whatever they did when they got to these countries. I don't know. And I guess they've been to quite a few of them, had some great, great stories to tell. We really enjoyed it. Anyway, that was our weekend there. And I'm going to, over the course of this show, if you hadn't figured it out already, we're going to be here for 2 hours. I'm taking Amy's time and my regular time. And we'll play a little music and talk a little bit and talk about some news stories and just kind of piddle around here a little. And so with that in mind,
Andrews Tower, good morning. Angel Flight Bravo 02, ready for takeoff. Angel Flight Bravo 02, you're number one for takeoff. Runway 25, get them home, boys.
All I ever wanted to do was fly. Leave this world and live in the sky. I left the C-130 out of Fort Worth town. I go up some days, I don't wanna come down. Well, I fly that plane, call the Angel Flight. Come on, brother, you're with me tonight. Between heaven and earth, you're never alone. On the Angel Flight, come on, brother, I'm taking you home. I love my family and I love this land. But tonight this flight's for another man. We do what we do cause we heard the call. Some gave a little but he gave it all. I fly that plane called the Angel Flight. And come on, brother, you're with me tonight.
Come on, brother, you're with me tonight.
Between heaven and earth, you're never alone. On the Angel Flight, come on, brother, I'm taking you home. Come on, brother, I'm taking you home. Stars are bright. Feels kinda like church in here tonight. It don't matter where we touch down. On the Angel Flight, it's sacred ground. When I fly that plane, call the Angel Flight. Got a hero riding with us tonight.
say.
Well, I punched the wrong button. It stopped that one a little abruptly, but that's all right. It was down to the last few seconds. So we showed up out there in uniform. We wore our field uniforms, and they was kind of, you know, they asked while we was all standing around there. There was probably, for this little cemetery here in Vernon, this was Saturday, there was probably, I don't know, 25 people out there, maybe 20, 25 people. So it was pretty good turnout for such a small area. And the guy that was running it asked, you know, how many veterans we have with us, and, you know, and we all raised our hand, and he went around and asked each one, and he got to me, and he said, I notice you and your friends here in uniform. And can you tell us what that's all about? And I said, we're all vets. You know, we had an Air Force vet, another one that was Air Force and Army, and I was Army. And I said, we're here representing the militia today. And he said, that's a great thing, or that's a wonderful thing, or something like that. I don't remember what his words were exactly, but he was very favorable. And when we got finished with this, actually it was before we started putting the flags out, the chaplain that he brought with him to conduct the ceremony asked about the militia and about, you know, what he could do to join and all that. And we didn't talk about it a whole lot, but he gave me his card and he said, so when you have time, he said, get a hold of me. I want to find out more about it. He's from New Mexico. And he said, well, I was there. I never could find a militia over there. And I said, well, I guess you just didn't look in the right places, you know, or didn't look very hard, one or the other, because there's, you know, the Bob Wright's First New Mexico Militia down in the southern part of the state has been going since 1990, 92, something like that, 1990, I think. And even after he died, it was disrupted a little bit and kind of downsized, but they're still trying to put that back together and keep going with it. And then there was while he was there, no, not while he was there. I was already gone. No, I was still in New Mexico. So, yeah, there was still the New Mexico Citizens Regulated Militia, and there was 1st Brigade. Was it 1st Brigade? 1st something, I don't remember. But anyway, there's a half a dozen of them in New Mexico. So I guess because nobody come and knocked on his door and told him about it, but he was thinking there wasn't one. So he was tickled that he discovered us. And I'm not sure exactly what part he could play, you know, in our group, but I'll talk to him about it sometime when we get more time. And as a leader, it's pretty standard with the militia nationwide that, hey, Nan just joined us. Pretty standard that the commander of any given militia group is a colonel, a full bird colonel. And, you know, some of the military people take that, they either make fun of it or they take offense to it. And you know, we have to be something. We can't just make up, you know, the Starfleet commander or something. We have to be something. Salvation Army is something. I mean, everybody has some type of a rank structure. Every organization like that has some type of a structure. I guess I could be the president and the vice president and whatever. But since the militia is very much modeled after the United States military, especially the Army, in most cases, they naturally adopt much of the terminology and the equipment and the same types of tactics and training and everything else. So it kind of stands to reason that you would just, that the rank structure would be similar to, now it's not exact in all cases. There's, you know, some that, because of the number of people that most groups have, they may leave out some ranks because they just don't have the people to fill them, you know.
When you have people in the United States Army that are in there for a career, they're going to be there 20 years, and they have this system where they are a certain rank for a certain amount of time and go up to the next. We have the same thing. We have time and grade and time and service and all that. But it's necessary that it be some of the things be a little shorter and a little easier, because people are not planning on making a career out of this. A lot of them are not. Now, I've been militia for 'Doc, I wouldn't have it any other way, brother. That's your majesty, I'm sorry. How long have I been in there? 98, I think, is when I started. So it's been 98 and 08, so it's been 20 or 21 years that I've been. I guess I can retire. I ain't going to get nothing out of it, but I can retire. But anyway, we've got people here that's been with the group for 6 or 7 years, and it's all going along pretty well. We've had a little bit of a influx. We got some new members here lately. So, you know, we could spend all night talking about the militia. You guys have heard me talk about it before, but anyway, there was, when we went to this luncheon, this colonel was sitting in there, and here I am with my birds on, and him with his, and he's in dress uniform, and I'm in field uniform, and he was watching me pretty careful. I think he was trying to figure it out. It came to him that there would be militia in the VFW. I think he was trying to figure out if I was, part of ROTC or what was going on. I don't know. But anyway, we didn't talk. I talked to him last year, but I wasn't in uniform last year, so he may not have recognized me. Probably didn't anyway. I mean, he sees a million people. So, but anyway, kind of fun. We enjoyed it. We had a good time over there. Talked to a lot of people, and it was a grand time. I really did enjoy it.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain, from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A. Well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
come from. Here's what I tell everyone. I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place where the stars and stripes and the eagle flies. It's a big old land with countless dreams, and happiness ain't out of reach. Hard work pays off the way it should. Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we've got it good. Where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. There's a lady that stands in a harbor for what we believe. And there's a bell that still echoes the price that it costs to be free. I pledge allegiance to this flag. That bothers you, well, that's too bad. But if you got pride and you're proud to do, hey, we could use some more like me and you. Where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. That I prefer to love my wife and raise my kids, hey, the same way that my daddy did. Where the stars and stripes and the eagles fly. Where the stars and stripes and the eagles.
All right, we're back. Let's talk about some other stuff here a little bit. Let me go over here and check the chat room and see. Nan's driving. Where are you driving to, Nan? Of course, I guess that you probably shouldn't be answering that while you're driving, but anyway. Let's see. All right, let's just start here in no particular order. This has nothing to do with Memorial Day or anything, but we did have... what day was it? Four or five days ago. 4 days ago. It was the 23rd. We had some snow here. And we talked about that on the show a little bit. And what we didn't talk about was they had quite a bit of snow up in Flagstaff. I-40 was closed for a while, and it was all icy and everything. And it was quite a fiasco during the day. And they had a bad accident up there that involved, this is neither here nor there, I'm just point of interest here and just letting you know. There was 8 vehicles, several semis involved in a tour bus, and that further closed I-40, happened 8:45 in the morning, just on the westbound lane, west Flagstaff. They got some pictures here, and this road is solid ice, and it shows these trucks and everything piled up. It doesn't say, I'm laughing at it, it said two drivers suffered minor injuries, so nobody was seriously hurt or killed, so that's good. But thought I'd throw that out there. That's the kind of weather we have here in the land of sand and cactus and 100-degree weather and all that kind of stuff. Let's see. Let's move on. I'll read that to you in just a minute. Here's another guy. This is a convicted felon. Now, this guy has had a bad day. It's just a really, really bad day. If there was ever a prize for the dumb crook line other than the Darwin Award, this guy would win it. Not only was he dumb, but he had some really bad luck. He was had a, and I got to be careful how I word this because of people that are present, but this guy was storing drugs in a balloon, and he wasn't storing them in his mouth, and he wasn't storing them in his armpit. He was storing them in another storage place in his body. Well, during this, as he's not sure what brought it about, but he was trying to hide a weapon. He's a convicted felon to start with. So this is not his first time to be an idiot. He was trying to get perfect with it here. But he shot himself in the twins while he was trying to hide the weapon, all the time had this drugs stored here. And 13-time convicted felon. 13 times. So I'm guessing apparently this guy doesn't catch on real quick. He told his girlfriend to dispose of the gun while they're heading to the hospital, or before they head to the hospital. Said he finally went to the hospital. Now, you got to listen. We ain't done with this story yet. He went to the hospital, and a balloon full of marijuana slipped out of the hiding place and while the doctor was operating on the gunshot wound. So I'm guessing maybe he tooted or something and kind of helped push it out. I don't know. So the cops arrived at the hospital when they were, you know, told about the gunshot wound. They searched his car and everything, and there they discovered a bag of meth in the blood-stained jeans that he was wearing while he shot himself, when he shot himself. They issued an arrest warrant. He turned himself in. This was about a month ago. As he was being processed in the courthouse, in the regional justice center, they called it, he was strip searched. And another balloon full of marijuana slipped from its hiding place. And so while he was in jail, he made several calls to his girlfriend, asked her not to cooperate with investigators working on his case. And he hadn't figured out yet that you don't just pick up the payphone and start calling people when you're in jail. They have a nasty habit of listening to you while you're talking. So they listen to him. So here he is, 13-time convicted felon, is now charged with possession of a firearm, unlawful possession of meth, possession of a controlled substance in a correctional facility, and 4 counts of tampering with a witness. Being held on $110,000 bail and due in court June 18th. There you have it. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. And that boy won the prize. Yeah. No, Tebow, you just wasn't watching Facebook close enough. I put a post on there that said TSB was starting right now, a special two-hour special. But we're glad you made it, Tebow. So, anyway. So there you have it. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hey, stand by. Wait a minute. Okay. I'm back just like magic. So let's see here. Do I want to... And that doesn't have anything to do, by the way, with Concrete and being a veteran for the Royal Canadian Balloon Corps. That's a whole different set of circumstances there. So let's see. This is... I need to read this to you. And there's another deal I'm going to read. I'm not going to read the other one. The other one's real long, but I'm going to pick a few choice deal. It actually showed up on Facebook. We got it from a friend directly in an email, and a couple days later it showed up in Facebook. But this professor is an awesome individual. He is apparently, not apparently, he is obviously very conservative. And he just comes right out to begin with when you show up for his class. Just drop the class now if you are triggered by free speech. He said, just go ahead and get rid of right now. If this bothers you, if you're offended by something somebody might say, if you're not big enough to, not mature enough to take it, just go ahead and drop the class now. He has actually created a contract for these kids. A two-page contract on the first day of the class where he tells them just drop it if you're offended by certain ideas or belief. The contract says, in this course, we study literature from cultures that existed before you were born. Their world is not our world. Their beliefs may not be our beliefs. No one asks you to believe or endorse any premise, attitude, precept, theology, political system, or ideology contained in these books or expressed in this class. Nor will you ever lose points or be docked grades because of your opinion, written, oral, or otherwise. We will not malign or trivialize these texts because they do not always parrot our values. We will not assume these books are racist, sexist, or homophobic because of the period in which they were written, or because of the race, class, gender, or religion of the authors. People who approach alien cultures from such preconceived notions are bigots masquerading as typically sophisticated advocates. Often in the name of social justice, persons who so diminish the past are neither social nor just, especially when they compel students to adopt their biases. Excuse me. So in the College Fix, this is a old school newspaper or something, said the contract also offers the following instructions. Okay, listen close. If you're thinking about taking his class, you may want to reconsider if you are bothered by certain things that people say. He says, please drop the class immediately if you are triggered by free speech, the free exchange of ideas or people who express and defend themselves or opinions that differ from your own. Please drop the class immediately if you are triggered by open, direct, and adult discussion of issues, including but not limited to the issues of faith, war, violence, race, gender, and sexuality. Please drop the class immediately if you are triggered by recurring encounters with heterosexuality, traditional gender identities, sympathetic representations of Christianity or religion in general, positive example of free markets or capitalism, or unapologetic encounters with patriotism, hierarchies, or meritocracy-based institutions or attitudes. Please drop the class immediately if you feel entitled to censor the thoughts or words of others or insist they tailor their language or attitudes to your preferences. So I'm thinking real seriously about sending this professor a letter and telling him how awesome, or maybe I can find his email here somewhere or something, and tell him just how awesome I think this is, because I think this is. pretty cotton picking awesome, as a matter of fact.
Madam President, we will never surrender America's sovereignty to an unelected, unaccountable global bureaucracy. America is governed by Americans.
White and blue, while I wear a Uncle Sam. I just got your telegram. And I can't believe that this is me. Shaken like I am. For it said, I'm sorry to inform you.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, we're back. Let me go back here and find my list of deals, and we get off the professor thing here. And I have people. Oh, never mind. Okay, now here's a. Is that the one? I think I'll start that one right after the. Well, I can start it now. If I can find it again. Oh, there's from the Hold My Beer and Watch This department. This is. These guys definitely win the Darwin Award here. Let me bring this up real quick. The witness said that the guys backed up, got a running start, and attempted to jump over a drawbridge. A what do you call it? Not a drawbridge. What do you call those things? That, I got too many things going on. If I could just make this thing do right. Hang on. These pop-up deals kill me. I bring it up on my phone and everything's perfect, and then I put it on here and it tells me I have to do stuff. Anyway. I'm pretty confident that they the alcohol was involved here. Said they, yeah, it was a drawbridge. That was right. Excuse me again. They tried to jump over it, jump to the other side. This was it says it happened in Louisiana. The guys were from Texas, and this was the Black Bayou Bridge, about 6 miles south of Lake Charles. Said the bridge was closed for traffic to let a boat go by. Well, when the boat goes by, if it's tall enough, they raise the bridge up. And the witness said that they got out of the car and pushed the passenger got out of the car, pushed the gate arm up, got back in the car. And I know that the driver said, hold my beer and watch this. I just know it. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. But driver stopped briefly, reversed, and then accelerated forward in an attempt to jump the bridge. And the car landed in the water, sank to the bottom. The driver was found inside the car. The passenger was found outside the vehicle after trying to escape. Both men were pronounced deceased at the time, and that's too bad because they don't get to collect their stupid prize for playing this stupid game. But anyway. I guess that kind of stuff happens. I wish I knew the, this is in Oregon. For any of you that listening that may be in Oregon that have a follow-up to this news story, I would like to know who the story is here. A guy come in, and this is exactly what the Second Amendment is all about. This is why we... I got to take a break here. I cannot stand when we have news outlets as big as Fox News or CNN or anywhere else that are supposed to be professional. They pay people to put this stuff on, and then they misspell words. And I know that, generally speaking, it's I before E except after C, but that is not the case when you're spelling thief. So Fox News did not spell thief right in their great big bold letters here. Anyway, guy come in with a hatchet and was planning on robbing the place. The guy pulled out the gun, didn't even have to shoot him. And he drew the gun, called 911. The clerk, I mean the bad guy, run away, and the guy got fired. So he says employees are trained to de-escalate robbery situations and avoid injury. To avoid injury. Sometimes. Many times, most of the time, maybe always, when someone comes in with a hatchet or a gun or a machete or a baseball bat or a butcher knife or a rock or a club of some kind or whatever, typically, if you're not armed and you say or do something just wrong, or maybe you don't have to say or do anything at all. Maybe the guy's just mad or sad or upset. He's triggered. He's triggered. That's what happens. You're going to get hurt, and you might get hurt real bad. But generally speaking, if you have a gun and are willing to use it and present this weapon at the correct time, maybe nobody gets hurt. The suspect placed the hatchet on the counter, reportedly telling the clerk, "I'm sorry, I'll leave." Yeah, I know. Suspect got on his knees, hands in the air, and abruptly fled the store.
And that's what you do with it. Is this, what is this?
That, wait here. Let me do this right. I have, hang on. Stand by, hang on.
Hello everyone, this is your Action News reporter with all the news that is news.
Okay, I was just giving a story here out of Snowflake, Arizona, about 20 some miles from here. Charles Hall, a World War II veteran who led a busy life and never had the chance to graduate high school until now. He was the junior class president during his time in Snowflake High School, lettered in three different sports, and was a successful boxer. Despite being eligible for deferment, he chose names, Charles Hall, 95 years old. Despite being eligible for deferment, he chose to put his life on hold and serve his country after the attack on Pearl Harbor. God bless this man. He enlisted in July of 1943, served in the United States Marine Corps as part of the initial invasion on Okinawa, the last major battle of World War II. The battle claimed the lives of more than 12,000 U.S. service members and 100,000 Japanese service members. Charlie was awarded, the Navy Presidential Unit Citation, the Asiatic Pacific Campaign Medal with Bronze Arrowhead, the American Campaign Medal, the World War II Victory Medal, the Marine Corps Expeditionary Medal, the Marine Corps Good Conduct Medal, the Marine Corps Reserve Service Ribbon. After returning home, Hall went straight into the workforce in order to support his family and never returned to school. Hall's family is a big one, 13 children, 52 grandchildren, 155 great-grandchildren, and 16 great-great-grandchildren. Well, I bet they hate to see Christmas come around. Hall's family said one of his biggest regrets was never graduating from school. Well, it's not going to be a regret much longer after putting his family first for all those years. He's finally going to get the chance to graduate from Snowflake High School on Friday at the age of 95. In his speech, let me see what, let me finish this. I'm going to go back and see if it's this Friday. In a speech prepared for the ceremony, Hall's son-in-law says, "By recognizing the sacrifices of Mr. Charles Logan Davis Hall, we are fulfilling a dream for a man who helped make this community, this state, and this country what it is today." Information on Hall's service and background came from a family statement provided to ABC 15. So this is May 23rd. So that would have been last Friday. If it was this coming Friday, I would go to that. I would damn sure go. And I would be absolutely honored to be able to shake this man's hand. But maybe I'll go over and try to look him up one day. Always, I do stuff like that from time to time. Neat story. Thank you. Let's see. Where are we at here? There was something else I wanted to read. Wait a minute. I may have more breaking news. Yeah, it was the 24th. It would have said this Friday. So that must have been the 24th. No, the 28th is tomorrow. It was updated on the 24th. I think the update was this right here. Stand by, everybody. Stay with well, I don't know if it was or not. Okay. Right. Well, there you have it anyway. Neat story. I love these stories. You know, it's like we sit there and listen to, hey, Lancer dropped in here. Glad you made it. Better late than never, buddy. No, we still got almost an hour to go, so you're fine. I love listening to these people. I love listening to these old vets, old people, period. You know, any of them. They've got so many stories to tell. And I was talking with state representative's wife here the other day, and we were talking about all the older people that pass away and take so much information with them. I had an aunt that was, that was probably last week. That's too bad. I would have went. I had an aunt that was 90 something when she died, and in her last few years, you know, she got really bad and couldn't remember anything. And she, man, this woman had so many stories, so much stuff that she remembered. And used to say, I tried to encourage her to write to keep a journal, to write a, what do you call it? Memoirs. And, I don't know if she ever got started or not, but I know it never got finished. And I've talked to some of the family, you know, after she passed away, and there was nothing. So, too bad. And I would encourage all of you, for you have old family members, old friends, old anybody that you come in contact with, these people that are 80, 90 years old, they need to sit down and either dictate to someone and let someone write it for them, or talk into a thing, you know, record it and have someone else write it later. But the amount of information, the amount of history and knowledge that could be shared with these people is, and when they're gone, it's gone forever. They're, obviously they had friends and other family, but they've got their own lives and their own stories and everything. So, there may be somebody around that could repeat some of the same stories, but, you know, maybe not. And I love going through, Amy and I both like to go through old cemeteries and look at the, particularly the veterans, but we look at the dates on them and the dates in the families and kind of, you know, in our own minds try to kind of imagine what might have happened that this whole family is buried right here at the same time or whatever. And it's interesting and it's one of those things, I guess. All right, here's the letter that I was talking about earlier. Yeah, we've got a couple things. We've hopefully got enough time to do this. Some of you may have seen this on Facebook or might have received the email. This is a real thing. It's a very, very long letter, and I definitely don't have time to read it all. I don't even want to read it all. It's too long. I have read it. But this was sent in by a parent in California, and because of where they work, they couldn't use their name, but we received this. We know what the name is because it was sent directly from the source. But this person wanted to make sure that the governor of California knew with the heartbreak and damage that all his policies were causing to California families. Great letter. And I'm going to read the first part of it here anyway. He said, the boxes are filled. Governor Newsom. The boxes are filled, the bags are packed, the hearts are breaking, my family is about to be divided, separated, perhaps forever. I wish you cared. Our wonderful daughter, along with her husband and their two young children, have given up on life in California. The only place they've ever called home has become intolerable to them. They found a new home in a southern state, far away from here in the real America. I've heard the story innumerable times, people leaving, wanting to leave. What was once the paradise of the West Coast. Not so long ago, kids could walk down to the corner store or to school without parents worrying about their safe return. No more. You once could visit a neighborhood park and not fear for your life. No more. Walking across the street did not require careful examination of the pavement to avoid feces or use hypodermic needles. Now it does. Illnesses are again seen being in this state that had been rare or non-existent until recently. Typhus, tuberculosis, mumps, measles, hepatitis A, B, and C are all here again. A worker on the upper floors at the LA City Hall recently came down with typhus spread by rats living in the disgusting conditions around the Civic Center. But you're concerned that I might ask for a plastic straw. Your priorities for managing this state are crystal clear, and the middle class is nowhere near the top of the list. I learned in civics class years ago that the primary job of government is to keep the people safe. What happened? When did our safety and well-being fall off the radar? Not too long ago, my daughter had her new vehicle stolen from her driveway in the short time it took her to walk the kids to school. Someone was watching, waiting for them to leave. It gives me chills just thinking about it. You release violent criminals, You release violent criminals back onto our streets to terrorize our communities. You proudly remove the death penalty as an option, sending a friendly message to the worst of the worst. And you handcuff our law enforcement officers, challenging their every move. Officers now must take an extra moment, perhaps just a second, questioning their training and best judgment before using any amount of force to apprehend a violent criminal. When this results in another dead cop, and it will, the blood will be on your hands, sir. A few weeks ago, we watched on television as a violent felon led police on a three-hour pursuit, destroying property and narrowly missing pedestrians and other vehicles. We saw him brutally beat his female passenger while driving close to 100 miles an hour. Then last week, a murder suspect shot at police out the window of the car, that he was being pursued in. It's a miracle nobody was killed. Turns out both suspects were free on early release through AB-109 that you and other politicians, who all live behind walls with armed security, forced upon us in the name of compassion. Where's your compassion for law-abiding citizens, Mr. Governor? And don't get me started on taxes and regulations. The amount of money taken from us by this state is criminal. Just living here is expensive enough, but imagine trying to run a business and stay afloat. We have the highest gas prices and taxes in the country, and still our roads are a mess. I recently hit a pothole and the damage to my car was over $1,000. We pay you enormous sums to manage the state's affairs, yet people by the thousands sleep on our streets at night. Homeless encampments are everywhere, in neighborhoods we've never imagined they'd be. And still, you want more. There's a move now to weaken Proposition 13. No doubt it will pass. And I just read that you want to tax online sales now, too. Along with proposals to tax water, telephone, dairy products, fertilizers, health care, and more, but taxing those things will not affect the super-rich 1%. They're just more hits on the middle class. You Sacramento politicians have an insatiable addiction to other people's money, but many citizens have had enough and are walking away, which brings me back to my family. Well, I'm going to see how long this is. I might go ahead and finish it. They're closing their business here. You'll get no more of their hard-earned money. They've purchased a home in their new state, big enough for the four of them and a dog or two, maybe even a horse. The kids will get a great education. They'll be able to leave a window open at night, knowing that the criminals are the ones who are afraid. Afraid of the police, afraid of the courts, and afraid of the citizens who exercise their right to defend themselves. Oh yeah, and gas there? About $2 a gallon. Somehow, they'll have to survive without a fantasy train to nowhere. I'm sure they'll find a way to get by. Meanwhile, our tax base shrinks and Atlas shrugs. Soon the only people left here will be the very rich and the very poor. It's almost as if you planned it that way. And now my family is broken, as are countless others. No more school plays, no more Little League games, no more weekend breakfast at IHOP or Thanksgiving dinners. I'll happily burn a ton of fossil fuel to go visit them at their new home as often as I can, but I won't be there as an instant babysitter when needed on short notice, and I'll actually notice their growth from visit to visit. I'll pray every night for their safety and happiness in the years to come, and I'll cry that I can't hold them tight. I'm angry as hell, and I miss them desperately already. But they'll get no going-away card from you and no apologies. You simply don't care. I thought this was longer than that, because when I saw it in the email, it was, you know, it was narrowed down into a little 2-inch wide thing, and it was seemed much longer, so that wasn't as bad as I thought. But boy, she summed it up. That's as good as it gets, and I am confident that Governor Newsom will get wind of this. It's all over Facebook. It's a lot of emails going around with it, and I think even if it doesn't make it to Newsom's desk, I think it will strike a lot of people as, you know, it'll reach a lot of people in California that are struggling, and I've said before, you know, there are almost no circumstances where you can't just walk away. Will it be inconvenient? Will you lose money? Will you miss people? Yeah. But do you want freedom or no? I understand completely people with, you know, 18 years, you know, with a company, they've only got to stay another year or two and get the retirement. Okay, I get that. I can see it. I know that there are people with, you know, family members that are just flat, can't make it, and if the people leave, they'll have nobody to take care of them. So there are a very, very few, very limited circumstances where people can't leave. But other than those few, like I have always said, like Casper Mountain did and came on the air and told us one day, I just put it in a truck and drive away. I don't care what else you're doing. I don't care how much you like your job. I don't care how much you like your friends. I don't care about the kids starting a new school. With everything that's going on there, you just put your stuff in a truck and drive away. And don't tell me you can't do it. And don't tell me it's not that simple. My first wife and I had 17 addresses the first 5 years we were married. It is that simple. I probably have well over 40 moves under my belt right now. It is that simple. The last three or four have been a struggle with moving stuff from the store and everything else. It's been a mess. But you know how we did it? Just put it in the truck and drive away. Do you love freedom or not? Are you willing to continue to be taxed and charged literally out of existence almost to not have the freedom to protect yourself. I mean, the lady said everything in the letter. And if you can abide by that and you can live with it, then I don't know what to tell you. But if it bothers you, and if it bothers you as bad as it does me, put it in a truck and drive away. When I got out of the Army when I was in California, when I was in Fort Irwin, I've probably told you this story before. A guy named Red, I don't know if I ever knew his last name or not, but I met him at a beer joint there in Barstow. And somehow he learned of my capabilities and the things that I could do with heavy equipment and whatnot. And he offered me $25 an hour to stay there. Now, you got to understand, this was in 19-something. When was it? 1986. In 1986, $25 an hour was a decent wage. You can live with it now, for sure. But that was a hell of a good way. I said, Red, you ain't got enough money to keep me in this state. You know, a smart man would have said, okay, you know, I can do this for 6 months or a year and get out of here. No, I had it. I didn't like California. I didn't like the people. I didn't like the laws. I didn't like anything about it. You know what we did? Put it in the truck, drove away. It's that simple. When I stayed up all night, the night before, building a tow bar. I probably told you this story too, I don't know. But I was building a tow bar to put my pickup on behind the U-Haul truck. Well, I didn't know. The U-Haul balls at that time were 2 1/8 inch. They've abolished those bastardized balls now, but they were 2 1/8 inch. I didn't know that. Never heard of such a thing. They were proprietary balls for their proprietary hitches. Obviously enough, people got heartburn about it, and they got rid of them. But I built this tow bar with a 2-inch coupler on it. And got ready to hook it up, and that's when I found out that they were 2 1/8 inch balls. You know what I did? I took a 9/16 socket, took the guts out of that coupler, laid it down on the ball of that truck, and I jumped up and down on it till it popped on there, got underneath there, and put the nut back on there and tightened it up, and off to Idaho we went. I got it to the state line. Where did I go? From Barstow, I don't remember which, probably went over to I-15 and went, I don't remember. That's probably what I did. But anyway, whatever I did, it was the closest possible way to a state line that I could make. When I got to that state line, I stopped and checked it, and by that time it had worn in nicely, and everything was fine. Tightened the nuts up on it a little bit and took off. So, anyway, put it in the truck, drive away. It's all you got to do. All right, let's see here. You know what? I think it's about time. We'll be right back. You know, since we've done the theme song or whatever you call it for the other branches of service, I think we need to slip one more in here real quick. It's not very long, so I'm going to do it because that's what I want to do. Well, that didn't work. The same one popped up there again. All right, well, we'll deal with it here in a minute. Let's see here. Let me... Will you stop? There it goes. All right. All right, let's get back to what we were doing here. I've already screwed up enough for tonight. Let me check the chat room here. Nan said she's had a lot of moves. Lancer's had a lot of moves. And DeTinker's been at the same address for 35 years. I can't imagine. But good on you. I mean, I've thought about that a lot of times. I went as a state prison doesn't count. I've thought about that a lot of times. I don't know. I don't know how I would act to stay in the same way. You know, I've been in this house right now the longest I have ever been in one location since I was a kid. I've been in this house for a little over 6 years, and this is the longest I've ever been anywhere. And you know, I've grown kind of used to it. But on the other hand, I look at people say, "Well, why don't you know you stay and work and retire, and when you retire, you go do all that traveling." When I'm retired, I don't want to sit around in a Winnebago and drink Metamucil cocktails and watch the sun go down. You know, when I've done everything that I pretty much that I want to do in my life. I haven't missed out on too much. I want to do it while I can still enjoy it, while I can still physically get around and do stuff. And then when I retire, I'll sit around and drink Metamucil cocktails and watch the sun go down at home. Instead of worrying about having a heart attack driving the Winnebago from state to state. That's concrete and say 39 zip codes, including the current one. So I'm not alone. Their longest stay is anywhere in 16 years for Nan. So I'm not alone in the traveling here, it looks like. Tebow's got 30 moves, 10 different states. And Lancer says he's lived in 10 different states. I think I've lived in 18 different states. I'm not sure. I have to sit down and count it again. So, anyway. All right, let's get back over here. Let me make this thing stay where it's at. All right, there we go. And let's see how many stories I've missed. Here's a good one. This is a neat story. By the way, how old is this story? Let me see this. I thought this was neat, and I don't really care how old it is. I'm going to tell you about it anyway. I just thought I'd check and see. And it is brand new. It's 2 days old. 7,500 boots on display at Fort Bragg this year, this month, served as temporary memorial to service members from all branches who have died since 9/11. The boots had the service members' photos and dates of death on display at Fort Bragg. Okay, that's neat. I'll tell you something else that's neat, and it's too bad that Lancer's wife's not listening here. She, well, I'll just leave that there. But there's a popular home improvement center here, lumber store, Lowe's. And they put out a little memorial today, blocked off a parking spot, and they had declared that parking spot their memorial for all the fallen soldiers. And we got online, or Amy got online, and looked at some other Lowe's around, and they did the same thing. Some of them a little nicer than others, but they put a little memorial out in one of the parking spaces. And Chick-fil-A was another one. We looked at several of those where they set a table and put a folded flag on the plate and leaned the chair forward and all in commemoration of the people that have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. Now, we won't argue about whether or not it was necessary that they die or what the wars were about. That is irrelevant. I don't care. We will not discuss it. I am fully aware that a lot of these wars were unnecessary. That's not the point. The point is that these people, regardless of what the reason was, they were willing to make that sacrifice. They were willing to join up. The overwhelming majority of them joined on their own free will. And even to this day, as many sissies as there are around, and as much as the military has changed and everything else, there are still people to this day willing to jump on that grenade to save their brothers in arms. I mean, it's happened in the last couple of years. Maybe not as many as there once was. Maybe not as many 16-year-olds trying to lie about their age to get into the service. But there's still a lot of 17 and 18-year-olds joining, and some of those same ones are unselfishly doing things that would make make their classmates back in high school cringe. And jumping on grenades is one of them. So I just wanted to throw that out there, and I wanted to give a. I try really hard to do all my business at Lowe's, and that's one of the reasons. And the discount that they give for veterans and their customer service, I wouldn't pee on Home Depot if it was burning down. I can't. Everyone that I've ever been to, the service has been the same. The choices that you have to, their lumber sucks. I mean, everything about Home Depot sucks. I don't like it. I do, once in a great while, I do have to go over there for, so they're right across the street from Lowe's here. But once in a great while, I have to go over there for something, but I will always try Lowe's first. I very much support Lowe's. I'm a pretty regular fixture down there. I'm on first name basis with about 80% of the employees down there. So that's I go in there about 3 or 4, 5, 8 times a day. Lancer says you can't join now. Yeah, you can't join the military without a birth certificate and high school diploma. You know, that's why I took my GED. I quit school and I actually took my GED. So in New Mexico, when you take your GED, it's not a what do you call it? It's not a an equivalent of a diploma. It is a diploma, and that's why I took my GED so I could join the military. And otherwise, I would have been blissfully ignorant of about GEDs for the rest of my life, and it wouldn't bother me a bit. But I didn't want to miss that chance to. I was 26 years old when I joined to start with, so I didn't want to wait any longer to get that done. Looking back now, I wish I would have went ahead and stayed, but I stayed until I retired. If I would have, I'd have retired, 15 years ago. But, like many other things that I do, it wasn't the smartest thing. What do you got there now? Attention, idiots. There are three reasons to unholster your loaded firearm. You are robbing us, you're shooting the person robbing us, or you're a complete incompetent idiot. Please do not unholster a loaded weapon in our store. If you do, the following will apply to each of the above. You will be shot, you will be thanked, you will be treated like an idiot and asked to leave. If you're offended by this message, you can assume that you fall into the last category, the third category. Very good. Good on it. Okay. Let's see. And the high school diploma. Oh, no, the birth certificate. That's unfortunate that you have to show a birth certificate now because everyone knows now that my daughter was almost 19 years old before she ever got a birth certificate. She never had one until she actually got out of school and got ready to move and wanted to get her driver's license. But I wanted to make sure that she voluntarily entered into that contract with the state. And if she didn't get one when she was born and made it through all the years of school and graduated and everything else without a birth certificate or a Social Security number. You didn't get a birth certificate or a Social Security number until she was 18 years old. So that's a choice that she's made, and that's, hope that everything works out for her. The Lancer's going almost 10 years since he retired. I would have retired at 46. It just seems so. I just had so many things to do, you know. I had so many places to go and people to see and things to do that in the military just didn't fit into it. I look back now and say, "What boy? How stupid was that?" 46 years old, I could have got out with a nice retirement, but it's one of those things, one of those stupid things that stupid people do, and I am one of those.
fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
Yeah, we trust it.
Okay, we're winning another stupid prize here. Give me just a second. I don't remember seeing this before. But there's a guy here was trying to smack a fish with a loaded gun. He had a long gun. He had a rifle. And he's attempting to smack a fish in shallow water there. And where does he shoot himself? Well, the Twins are having a bad day here. I wouldn't want to be doing what he's doing. This might be an air gun or BB gun. Let's hope for the guy's sake that's all it is. They can't tell for sure what caliber the gun is. But there's a video. Play that video. Let's see what happens. We'll...
It's only 13 seconds long.
13 seconds long. So somebody... There he goes. He's wearing back. There's a fish. And... Wow! Oh, and he got it. Oh, yeah. And they're talking foreign language, so there's that.
Anyway.
Okay, well, we've had all the fun, Wing Standard. You know what? I'm having fun listening to this music, so that's what I'm going to do right now.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat," and I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it write and say, "Can you see?" And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. 'Cause she's been through the fire before, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, we take her down every night, we don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her upright. On second thought, I do like to brag, 'cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
Okay, well, I've just about had enough here. I hope you have enjoyed this 2-hour special. We had a little more music than we normally do, but I just somehow was compelled to share more with you than I generally do. So I'm going to ease on towards the door right now, and if all goes well, I'll be seeing you Wednesday night. Not sure what's going to be happening Friday yet. Still a little early to tell, but I'll let you know for sure if we can do a live show Friday. So, good night. God bless America, and we will see you Friday.